You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're going to hear it in their own words. We'll play some audio of Matt Nagy speaking to reporters this week about his offense and Mitchell Trubisky. And then we'll wrap up with Akeem Hicks and the growth of this defense and kind of where they can still continue to get better moving forward. We start with the head coach because he's the one that always has the most to say, and also he's in charge of everything. And I think whenever I listen to Matt Nagy answer questions about his offense and his quarterback, I come away feeling a little bit more, I guess, encouraged about the job he does as a head coach. That you hear Matt Nagy talk and you really feel like he gets it. Like he says all the right things and says them in the right way that you can kind of, like, you, there's something genuine about it. He's not just saying words to get them out, but I don't know what it is about him, but it just, it, I think it inspires confidence in him as a head coach. And he talked for like a good half hour this week, so I cut it down to just some of the real good stuff here on the quarterback and the offense. This will be the longest clip that we play on today's episode. I trimmed it down pretty good, but it's a good couple minutes here on Matt Nagy talking about his quarterback and his offense this week at his press conference.
Offensively, after watching the tape again, red zone wise, yesterday wasn't good enough. We need to be better in the red zone. We need to get to a point to where we're putting touchdowns up on the board and not kicking field goals. Now, with that said, where I'm proud with the offense and where what we did yesterday was the fact that they were resilient in understanding that, hey, 14 to nothing, let's just stick to our game plan. Let's just worry about play by play and not what could happen down the road here. And so when we came back out the second half, offensively, you know, we did enough to win the game. And so I was proud of those guys for that. The biggest part of that I thought that was neat was there was no finger pointing or no complaining or yelling or on the sideline. Everybody was trying to figure out how can we get better with each drive, and it showed in the end.
Matt, what did you think of Mitch's game?
I thought Mitch, so we took some shots yesterday, and I like his mentality of being able to go downfield, and there was a couple in there where he had the aggressive mindset of even regardless of how far off they were, he still took an opportunity to go deep, and we liked that. So we didn't hit on any of them, just the one down the sideline to Allen, but there was a few others we didn't hit on. But I think that's for us, that's a good thing that we did that. There's a few times in the red zone where they got us with some pressure, but again, that's just for us. That'll be good for him to see. That'll be good for us as coaches to see where we're at. But there's a few throws that he made in there with conviction that I say to myself, that right there is what we're about to get to.
What? Anything stand out in those throws come to mind?
Just the timing, the footwork, and where he threw it, where his eyes went, the timing with the wide receiver on the route is basically unstoppable. When he threw it on time, his progression in the route, where he went to, he trusted it. He trusted the receiver, made the strong throw in the pocket, had green grass with the O-line. And so, you know, it was neat to see. And it wasn't just one or two. There was a few of those.
How much do you sense his mind is full with the scheme, everything you're asking him to do, plus some of the fundamental issues that he's admittedly trying to master?
Yeah, I think that it's probably getting close. And it's not fair to him. If it gets that, remember what I told you before, is like there's that balance of knowing kind of what he can and can't handle. And so not just him now, too. Now, we have 10 other guys on this offense that this is their first time learning it. So they need to be able to go through these routes and these plays for the first time as well. So when you feel like it's getting close to that breaking point or too much, you got to pull back. And so I feel like we've done a pretty good job so far with that, and we'll just continue to monitor that and see where he's at. We'll talk to him. We'll get feedback from him along with the other guys, and then try to figure out the why part. You know, why aren't we where we want to be? So there's some common sense to it of knowing that it's going to take a little time, but then there's also some, you know, hey, let's start doing the little things the right way and the details, and let's make sure that we as coaches are putting these players in the best position possible.
What inspires confidence that Mitch is close and he's on the right track and that this offense is as close as you think it can be?
Just seeing, again, the bits and pieces. I go back to, you know, these last couple games, the drives that we put together. I don't know this for sure, but I know one thing. I know we got to be up in the top five at least in time of possession right now. So we are moving. We are getting first downs. And so to me, when you're a quarterback in this offense and you're not going three and out and you're not using your punter, you know what that does? That helps your defense out because they get a breather. And so understand that there's two parts of this. So where do we got to get better? We got to get better in the red zone. And that's where we need to improve right now. We're moving the ball, and we're getting first downs. We're chewing up the clock, and we're getting stopped in the red zone, and we're kicking field goals, and we need to get touchdowns.
The Bears will definitely need touchdowns instead of field goals this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, as you may have seen, getting a lot of Fitz magic this year and putting up some pretty high flying offense. Even in spite of that, though, the Bears are still 3-point favorites on mybookie.ag. The over-under is set at 46.5, so they're also expecting a little bit more of a higher scoring game than we saw last week. If you like those odds, then you have to check out MyBookie. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and MyBookie has some of the most rewarding player perks in the business. You can get even more rewarded if you go on there and sign up, use the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit. They will match it dollar for dollar, giving you double the play to get in the game this week. At mybookie.ag, you play, you win, you get paid. So we were just hearing Matt Nagy kind of give his assessment of this Bears offense and Mitchell Trubisky. And so, of course, I mean, first of all, when you're asking Matt Nagy about the offense, he's not going to be overly critical. So let's take everything he says with just a slight grain of salt, that he's going to come out and be positive and, you know, sometimes very justifiably so and for good reasons. But, you know, it's important to remember that, you know, he has incentive to talk up his players even if they don't necessarily 100% deserve it. But just kind of more generally, I wanted to touch on a few of the things he talked about. And I want to give him credit for making a good point about the time of possession. He is right that the Bears are in the top five in time of possession. And I want to say, you know, on a per drive basis, they are second in average length of a drive in terms of time off the clock and second in total number of plays as well. Still 22nd in yards per drive and 25th in points per drive, but they are extending these drives. You see a lot of third downs, and there is some value to that. You know, the lack of yards maybe is more concerning than he led on, but it is a good point that as much as we're seeing this Bears offense struggling, they are doing enough, right? That, I mean, they've won two games and probably should have won the first one, and, you know, should be potentially 3-0 here. They are doing enough, even when it's ugly, even when it doesn't feel like enough, even when it leaves a lot to be desired. They are putting enough points on the board for their given opponents. Now, the question is, of course, will it always be enough when you face a team that's not Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen, or when you face a team that's not the bad Seattle Seahawks? There's, you know, that's, I think, where the criticism and the concern gets a little bit more valid. But I do think it is kind of important to remember that, you know, as much as it's a lot of these dink and dunk and quick throws, that has worked to some extent in terms of sustaining drives and moving the offense. But like Nagy pointed out, they haven't been that effective in the red zone. And I found this to be an area in particular that Mitchell Trubisky struggles with a little bit, with the more condensed field. I mean, it is harder to play offense in the red zone. It is easier to play defense in the red zone. There's just not as much space for players to work, and so you can't stretch a defense as much because there's just not as much room to be stretched. You are confined by the amount of field you have to work with. So it makes your reads quicker and tighter with less separation for your receivers to be made, just because there's always defenders that are closer in that area of the field. And I think you see Trubisky struggle to read defenses as effectively in the red zone, and especially as they, even not even necessarily near the goal line, but even from 20 yards back, even 25 and 30, as they get farther down there. You know, he had that terrible rollout throw that should have been a pick six from Trey Boston that was, again, throwing into the red zone. I think it's maybe because of the tighter space, it's something where Mitch is thinking a lot and, you know, I don't want to say nervous because that's probably not the right word, but just, you know, a little jittery, a little bit too much going on, a little bit too much pressure from a situational standpoint that is a work in progress. And plenty of offenses in the NFL struggle in the red zone, and I think that is less of a concern than just cleaning up the mechanics for four quarters and, you know, handling the blitz and the pressure a little bit better as a whole. But yeah, credit to Matt Nagy for pretty well identifying that issue. And I like that he didn't glaze over too much of Mitch's inconsistencies. You know, that he kind of said, you know, at some point we got to start doing a lot of the little details right. We got to, you know, they're being cognizant of not putting too much on him. I still feel like from what we can see on the outside, it looks like they're still putting too much on him, but he said he feels like they're getting more closer to that capacity, and maybe that's his way of saying they're going to dial it back a little bit. We'll kind of see, but he is right that you see a couple of those throws a game with that conviction that make you think that there's this potential for more and that things are can and should eventually come together. It's just a matter of how well they can do that, how well they can make those adjustments, and if you're going to see that progress truly happen during the regular season. Is that the kind of thing Mitch can do from game to game and improve on that in the short week of practice he has in between games? It's that's sort of the question that goes a little bit unanswered, and it is the million-dollar question. You know, Nagy can't necessarily answer that other than just being confident in their coach's ability to put players in position to have success, and that's, at the end of the day, that's what they're going to do. But I think ultimately, you know, you're not going to see Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy offense be clicking on all cylinders by the end of this year. I think largely you're going to see the offense continue to push this boundary of doing enough to win. And some games they might be doing plenty enough to win. And some games they might not do enough to win and they'll lose. In other games, you're going to see them just barely scrape by. I think kind of like we did against Arizona. It's always going to be a roller coaster ride with this offense, but you're going to see those plays here and there, those great throws, those well-schemed runs, you name it. They're these sprinkles of offensive innovation and success that just keep you coming back for more, but also maybe keep you a little bit frustrated. Let's move over to the defense now, because it's, you know, the side of the ball that I think, because they've been so good and consistent, they almost don't get enough attention. Certainly, we don't talk about them enough on this podcast because we know a lot of what they are and how successful they are. But, you know, Akeem Hicks met with the media this week, and I thought he had a couple of interesting things to add to the conversation here, and it'll also allow us to talk just a little more generally about where this defense is and where it could still go. So here's Akeem Hicks talking with reporters this week.
Sky's the limit. I would say this, that you know, we came out there and we got a little shock to our system. They got two good plays off and scored on both of them. And, you know, if we can prevent that, I think that we'll have an overall more balanced game. And I think that we really pulled it together. We're able to take a punch and get back up and finish out the game. But I think if we can eliminate that first punch and maybe parry or block it, put up our Philly shell or something, we could be a little bit better.
How cool was it to see Paul Nichols make that play toward the end of the game, too?
You saw how juiced up I was. Anytime my rookie makes a play, I'm the first one on him. But, yeah, super exciting to see a young guy be able to get out there and make a play that had a figure into the outcome of the game.
Akeem, when Danny recovered that fumble, what was your vantage point of getting on that pile with him?
Oh man, I cannot tell you this. Danny was screaming at the bottom of the pile, "Get off! Get off!" He just wanted me to get off the pile, but it was awesome, man.
He said he couldn't breathe.
Yeah, he couldn't breathe because I was laying on top of him. I was trying to get the other guy, Wetzel, I think it was. I was trying to get his hand off of Danny, but I was putting all my weight on both of them. So,
in this league, happens. You can put your full body weight on your teammate, just not on the other guy.
There you go. Fair enough.
I know you guys loved having all those Bears fans on the road, but did they actually help out in terms of, did they?
Yeah. Most definitely. It was the craziest thing. We, from the moment we stepped in there to warm up, you could see that there were more our jerseys than theirs. It really felt like a home game, and that's a shout out to all the Bears fans, man. You guys came through and really helped us out.
It's clear that this Bears team feeds off the energy of this defense, and the defense is feeding off the energy of the crowd. And really, I mean, that's you guys. That's the Bears fans that go into Soldier Field and apparently State Farm Stadium in Arizona and really create that atmosphere and bring that excitement and energy to this team. If you want to join in on that excitement at Soldier Field, see this Bears team live, then you need to download the Vivid Seats app. Vivid Seats can help you find great deals, not only on Bears tickets, but also concerts and any kind of live show you can possibly think of. It's all there on the Vivid Seats app. And because they are partnered here with Locked On Bears, we can get you a special discount on your Bears tickets. If you download the app and use the promo code Locked On, you'll get $20 off your first order of $200 or more. Still have plenty of tickets to Bears Buccaneers this Sunday at noon, starting at $125 a piece. So you grab a pair of those, you're already getting $20 off. Or look ahead a couple games. Looks like the Patriots game is a little more expensive. Jets at Bears on Halloween weekend is down to $105 each is where those tickets start. So if you've been waiting for a good opportunity to go see Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy and really Khalil Mack in this Bears defense, now is the time to download Vivid Seats and use that Locked On promo code for $20 off your order of $200 or more. So we don't have to talk anymore about how Khalil Mack is the catalyst of this defense. I think by this point, everyone gets that he's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. We've talked about his impact a lot when they first traded for him, but now, I mean, it's clear to see every Sunday the way he can be just a true game-changing talent on every play. But we're really seeing the increase in confidence and aggressiveness from everyone around him as a result. I mean, Akeem Hicks talked about even Bilal Nichols right there, which I enjoyed him calling him my rookie. You can tell, I think Akeem Hicks has taken this kid under his wing a little bit. And Bilal, you know, he was inactive week one, made his debut last week against the Seahawks and, you know, got after the quarterback a little bit and made a tackle, but he really hasn't played that much this year. 11 snaps last week against Seattle. He only played 6 snaps against Arizona here, but like they talked about, he made a big play there down the stretch, you know, mostly late in that game. And, you know, you're seeing a guy be able to come off the bench like that and make an impact because he gets a one-on-one pass rushing situation and he's not going to get double teamed too much in the running game. They have to focus on everybody else. But you're just kind of seeing, you know, him and Sherrick McManus come in and make plays and Bryce Callahan in the slot. And it's contagious at this point. Eddie Jackson can get more aggressive at the safety position and go over top to make that interception or come down hard and fast to undercut a route and have a pick six, which was, of course, called back by offsides on Khalil Mack. But, you know, you'll take that play, right? I mean, you'll take that with the 2 sacks and I think, what, 8 total quarterback hurries in the game. I mean, just phenomenal on that side. But, you know, I think you see it with Prince Amukamara and like his pick six last week against the Seahawks, being able to step up and be aggressive and have confidence that, you know what, the quarterback, if he's throwing these short, quick passes, he has to either throw it now or get sacked. That when you know the pass rush is that strong, you can take a chance on a route like that because you don't think, you know, based on your the rest of your defense, you're betting that the quarterback's not going to have time for a double move or a deeper throw to beat you. You know, for that type of a longer play to develop, the opposing quarterback is going to need a lot of time under center to let that work downfield. And Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and Leonard Floyd and Aaron Lynch and Jonathan Bullard and Eddie Goldman, all those guys really prevent that from happening and just make things so much easier on your secondary. I guess what concerns you, right, is those couple of big plays early on, and even Akeem Hicks talked about it, that kind of was a little bit of a punch in the mouth and a little bit of shock for them. And I don't know, to me, does it feel a little bit like that happens a little bit too often with these, even over the last couple years with Vic Fangio's defense, of just a couple of plays at a time where you just, you something just goes catastrophically wrong? And I'm sure it happens to every defense, and it's probably not specific to Vic, but it's just something that even with Khalil Mack, maybe they haven't been able to shake. And it does, I guess, leave this sliver of a doubt for me. You know, and like, not that this is ever going to be a bad defense, but, you know, can you ever be a true top defense when those plays are made? It's a top five defense, absolutely, but, you know, it just, it leaves you with a little bit of, well, but what about this? You know, it's not, you know, not to take anything away from a dominating performance, but if you're truly nitpicking about, okay, just how great is this defense? Is it really the best defense in the NFL? Is it, does it deserve to be in that conversation? It's the plays like those that do make you wonder just a little bit. But I also feel like there is still individual room for improvement with some guys on this defense, that, you know, we still haven't seen Leonard Floyd make an impact as a pass rusher. I was impressed with how he played as a run defender last week, but we haven't seen him really reach his potential on that opposite side. You know, we still, I think we're seeing more and more from Aaron Lynch, but I still feel like there's some untapped potential there. You know, certainly when Prince Amukamara leaves and Kevin Tolliver comes in at the cornerback position, and that injury is still something worth monitoring. You know, if you're not having your two starting cornerbacks out there, you can point to that as another area where this defense can get better. And I also think you can get a little bit more from some of your other defensive linemen, that, you know, we're seeing a lot of nickel defense and a lot of Hicks and Goldman, but there's still more contributions to be made from Bilal Nichols, but also Jonathan Bullard and Roy Robertson-Harris. You know, we saw Robertson-Harris in particular have pretty strong start to the season. I thought he was particularly good getting after the quarterback in Green Bay and really playing the run well last week against Seattle. And then his role kind of shrinks a little bit more this week. And Bullard's role continues to kind of shrink. And maybe there was a matchup thing with the Cardinals offensive line, and they liked Goldman going up against, you know, this more of a downhill rushing attack and trying to keep some bulk in there, even when you're in a nickel defense. I mean, it's gonna shift from week to week, but it's clear that there's more that this defense can still do, which I think is a pretty exciting prospect. You know, that, you know, they could blitz more. They could, you know, they can do different packages, like with the Sherrick McManus thing, and continue to throw even more different looks. And I didn't even mention Roquan Smith getting better, that as he gets more and more comfortable in the middle of that defense, there's more plays to be made there. Your young safeties continue to get better. You know, there's a lot, there's an arrow pointing up, but there's also a ceiling here that hasn't even been met yet. So that to me is incredibly encouraging. And it all stems back to this front seven and this pass rush that, you know, in the NFL, when you can add a player like Khalil Mack, and it truly does make everybody better. And, you know, I think it kind of leaves, honestly, the weak point of your defense is these cornerbacks, Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara, that, you know, I feel pretty comfortable with Eddie Jackson and Adrian Amos. Obviously, your linebackers are set across the board. Your defensive line feels pretty solid. And then, you know, there's the first two games, you've had a play in each game where Kyle Fuller gets beat deep. And occasionally you get these Prince Amukamara, you know, mental lapses, and you can live with them, and certainly the Bears have. But, you know, at that position, when you're alone on the outside, there's some more boom or bust there as far as potentially allowing some big plays, but also potentially creating some big plays. And maybe that adds another just kind of question mark, that this, you know, this isn't an elite secondary by any stretch of the words, but it's clear that they can make some plays. It's clear that they can get aggressive when they have a pass rush, but there's a little wiggle room there. And that means there's both room for improvement and maybe room for doubt. And we're going to keep monitoring everything, not only with this Bears defense, but with this Bears offense as we move forward. Tomorrow on Locked On Bears, we'll be crossing over with the host of Locked On Buccaneers. Well, one of the hosts will be joining us. We're still figuring out exactly how we're going to pull that off, but we'll be getting some Buccaneers analysis straight from the source, and then we'll wrap up the week with, of course, our game plan for Sunday. How are the Bears going to slow down Fitzmagic? How are they going to try and keep up with a little bit of a higher scoring Buccaneers offense? We'll break it all down, their strengths, their weaknesses, how to maybe tap into that, and what how to prepare for Jameis Winston if the Bucs decide to make a QB change. Tampa Bay is an interesting team to try and pin down here, but we'll do our best. We'll break it down. Again, tomorrow's more of the Buccaneers' perspective, and then Friday we'll wrap up with more of the Bears' perspective. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast if you're new to the show. You can also join the Locked On Bears Facebook group. We're getting rolling there with some more daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. It's a great way to stay connected with your fellow Bears fans and just kind of build that Chicago Bears camaraderie, even beyond just the confines of me talking to you. I mean, there it's easier to have more of a conversation and to really enhance our Chicago Bears experiences. You can also join the conversation on this show with our Locked On Bears voicemail and text line. 312-620-8590 is the line. We've been getting calls and texts this week. We listened to a couple of them on yesterday's All 22 film review podcast. If you haven't heard that, you can go back and kind of hear how you get involved with the show. You know, I don't bite. I'm not going to be critical. I'm not going to slam you for, you know, if you ask a question and I disagree with you or whatever. I'm not going to slam your opinion or belittle you or anything. We're just going to talk Bears. I mean, that's what we do on this podcast. We break down the Chicago Bears, and we bear down.